Welcome to this week's podcast from Church on the Rock. We hope that it will challenge and inspire you to be a more passionate follower of Jesus. For more information about Church on the Rock, visit us at cotrcalera.com.
You know, if somebody were to ask you what faith is, a lot of times, well, like, faith is my belief in God. You know, in other words, that's my faith. And there's a connection there that surely is in Scripture, like, you know, that, you know, your faith is that you are a Christian and you believe in God. But that's not really what faith is. And so Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the things not seen, and evidence of things not seen. So when you're talking about what faith is, we have to know exactly what faith is and how it works in our life in order for it to work the right way. And so many times what we do, though, is that we find ourselves operating in hope, thinking that it's faith. But you have to understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you cannot substitute faith and hope and think that it's going to work. Now, you got to have hope. And we talked about this, that hope is having a positive expectation of your future. Anything that looks to the future in a positive way, that's what hope is. All right? When the Bible says the God of all hope, you know, has given us all this, it's this idea that regardless of what, no matter what difficulties we face, whether it's persecution or whether it's difficulty or sickness and whatever, that we have this hope that there's going to be a better life, that God's going to take us to a better place, that he's going to wipe away every tear from the eye, and that all sickness and pain and suffering and death will no longer exist because we have heaven, and that's an incredible hope that we have. Right, but hope, that's pointing to the future. So anything that points to the future is hope, but anything that's now is faith. So faith is substance of what we hope for. So you got to have a positive expectation of your future based upon what God's word says, but then you have to add faith to that, and that faith is right now. In other words, it's acting as if God is true right now, regardless of what you see, feel, or any of those kinds of things. All right, so we talked about this a little bit last week too, but want to just use this to set the stage, okay? Hebrews 11, 6 tells us this, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. So this is one of the things that we brought up last week. Why is faith so important? Because in order to please God, you have to have faith. It's not about how often you go to church. It's not about how great you sing, you know, or how many worship songs you know. It's not about how much money you give in the offering. All right, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we have to understand that the things that we do for God, whether it's going to church or witnessing, giving, worshiping, all of these things have to be done in faith. Otherwise, it doesn't matter, okay? So, and without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So, why is this important? Because if you were just to take this right here from a standpoint of prayer, let's just talk about just the simplicity of prayer and what it means, all right? So, without faith, it's impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. So here's the thing, and I don't know about you, but I've had this moment before in my life where, like, I'll be in prayer, and I'll be like, man, am I just talking to myself right now? Like, you know, I mean, because, like, I'm walking around by myself in this place, and I'm talking, but, like, is God even really hearing me? Is God even really hearing what I'm having to say? Well, what this scripture tells us is that if we pray in faith, it is a prayer with conviction that you know that God is hearing you and that he's going to reward you because you're seeking after him, all right? It's not a prayer of doubt or that you're in this, like, I just don't know, you know, is my prayers there? Are they even working? All of these kinds of things. No, praying in faith means that we are believing, okay, that God is hearing our prayers and that he is going to answer our prayer and reward those who pursue him and go after him. So, if we're going to understand how faith works, we're going to have to be very analytical looking at what faith is. And so we have to understand the mechanics of how it works. If you're driving down the road in your car, and your car breaks down on you, okay, You are in a much better position in your life if you know how that car works, right? Because if you don't know how it works, like me, okay, I look at an engine, I have no idea. You know, it's like I can check the oil and maybe other fluids, and that's about it. You know, if there's smoke coming out somewhere, I got a problem. That's what I know, okay? So, but if you are a mechanic and you know how the car works and you break down, you are in a much better position than I am, okay? Because you may know what to look for, and it may be a quick fix or something like that. You're in a much, so it's the same thing with faith, all right? If your faith begins to break down, but you know how it works, you can recorrect some things and make some adjustments to get yourself back on track, all right? So when we think about faith, we have to understand that we have to have the capacity for faith, all right? And so let me explain it to you like this when it comes to faith. If I was in the woods and a bear came to try to eat me, okay, and I tried to pull the trigger, but I didn't have a gun, then I would die. Even if I had the trigger but no gun, I would die. Likewise, if I had the gun but there was no trigger, I would still die, right? Because the gun, or if I had the gun and the trigger but didn't pull the trigger, I would still die, right? Because the bear would eat me. And hopefully the gun's powerful enough that if I did pull the trigger, it would kill him dead before he got to me, right? So it's not a little 22 or something like that. So we have to have the capacity and the trigger. And they both got to work at the same time. They both got to be working. They both got to be doing what needs to be done, right? And that's what we're going to be looking at today is this, is looking at how to pull the trigger on your faith. And so Mark chapter 11, verse 12, we see a story here, and we're going to go quite a bit. Well, I say quite a bit. We're just going to move through and what happens here. And we've actually talked about this story here recently, but we're going to point out some different things about the story. Mark chapter 11, verse 12, it says, on the following day when they came to Bethany, he, being Jesus, was hungry. And seeing in a distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not season for figs. And he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard it. All right, then they went, did some ministry and stuff for about four or five verses, and then we skip over to verse 20. They're coming back, so they've spent a whole day doing ministry. Now they're on their way back the next morning, so a whole day has gone by. All right, as they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered him, have faith in God. All right, so one of the things that's really important that we have to understand about faith is that sometimes we think that if we have faith, all right, that if we have real faith, that whatever we have faith for will happen immediately, like right away. Okay? That if I have real faith in God, if I have real faith in prayers, and I'm praying to God about the situation, the things going on, that if my prayers are really working and God is really hearing me and God is really going to do something, and he's going to do it right away. And it is certainly true that God can work like that, okay? But when we're looking here at this particular story, we see that that tree did not wither right away. Jesus spoke to that tree and they walked away from that tree being very, very normal. And it wasn't but a 24-hour period that they walked back. So there was progression that happened in what it was that Jesus did. Now, Jesus being Jesus was a whole lot better at this faith concept than we are. Okay? But nevertheless, we see that there was time that went by. There was a process that happened. And sometimes we can get this idea that if we really believe that change will happen immediately, it's going to happen in a snap. But sometimes it just takes some time. But when we look here at what Jesus said right here at the very end, he said, have faith in God. Now, you could say, have faith in God, or okay, it could be said, the original reading could say this, have God's faith. Okay, it could say that. It could say, have faith in God, or you could read it where it says, have God's faith. Okay, And really, that's kind of really what we're talking about anyways, because if you have faith in God, then you're trusting God's faith, all right? And you're believing in God's faith. And that's what Jesus is saying right here is have God's faith. And then Jesus goes into another whole conversation, to be quite honest, probably one of my favorite Bible verses in all of Scripture, is he goes into Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. And he says, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, believe that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." All right. So, in this passage, we see the capacity, and we see the trigger. And it's really important that we know the difference in what they are. All right. The capacity is what you believe. The trigger is what you say. Okay. You have to have the capacity, and you have to have the trigger, and they both got to be working at the same time. The capacity is what you believe. The trigger is what you say. Now, here's what we're talking about here today. Listen, Jesus says right here, if you read this passage, you can go through it and read it again. Jesus says that you will have whatever you say, not whatever you believe. Okay? Whatever you say, all right? Whatever you ask for in prayer, in other words, you got to say it. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that, and remember we talked about this last week, right, that faith is now, and we talked about this a little bit this morning, faith is now. There's a tense behind faith, right? There's a tense behind faith, and there's a tense behind hope. Hope points to the future. So Jesus did not say, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it will be yours. Does it say that? All right, I don't know about you. Let's see here. Believe that you have received it. There's a tense. In other words, believe that you already got it. Believe that you already have it. Don't believe that you will receive it. Don't believe that it's going to come to you at some point. Okay? Believe that you already have it. That's what Jesus said. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you already have it, and then it'll be yours. Because where we get it wrong oftentimes is that we do it the exact opposite way, okay? Where we believe that we're going to receive it, and then when we have it, we believe we have it. And that's not what faith is, all right? But what we really see in this passage, and I'm gonna read it back again just so you hear what he says, because it's really important that you understand the emphasis that Jesus is saying right here. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou taken up to the sea. Notice that he didn't say, whoever believes in his heart that this mountain will be taken up into the sea. He didn't say anything about believing. He says, whoever says to this mountain, be thou taken up to the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. All right. Jesus, now here's the problem. Here's the problem with saying it. Here's the problem with saying it, all right? Is that if you say it, you put yourself out there, right? I mean, Jesus telling the fig tree to wither up and die was putting himself out there. Because if it didn't come to pass, it would be like, oops, my bad. This must have been a bad day for me or something. I must have missed Jesus on that one or... Right? When you say it, you put yourself out there. It really is. Because I can stand here all day and believe in my heart that God wants to move that mountain into the sea. But when I say it, it's like other people are going to hear me say it. And it puts me out there. And that's where a lot of times we have the greatest problem. It's one of the reasons why we have the greatest problem praying for other people. And this is what we do. Our default setting is when we pray for other people going through a difficult time, is not to pray that God would change their situation. It's like, God, just whatever you want to do, you just do it. It's like, well, then there's nothing, there's no faith in that, because then you're just like, I'm just leaving it up to God. I'm not, you know what, I'm just not even going to assume. I'm not even going to just step out there and declare what God's will is. I'm just going to be like, well, God, if you want to heal him, heal him. Just bless the Lord. I don't know, just bring peace. This is what we do, right? because faith causes you to be put out there on the ledge. And the truth being known is that when we read this passage, Jesus spoke about speaking more than he did about believing. He spoke more about what you say with your mouth than he did about what you believe. And oftentimes what we do when we're dealing with faith is that we want to do it the other way around. We want to believe more than what we say. Like, well, I'm just going to believe. Just going to believe that God is going to do something. Just going to believe it. Well, you need to believe. True. It's there. You need to believe. Because the belief is the capacity. You can have the entire gun. You can have all the belief in the world. And at some point, you got to pull the trigger. At some point, you've got to say it. And the truth be known is that if you really believe it, you'll say it anyways. Right? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we have a hard time saying it with our mouth, that really means we don't believe it. Even if we say we believe it. Because when you believe something in your heart, you're going to say it with your mouth, right? And that's what we see in Scripture. And we've been conditioned, honestly, to believe that our words don't really matter. Like, it doesn't really matter what I say with my mouth. And so we grow up with stories like sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Like, as if what we say doesn't matter. But did you know that even God's power was released by what he said? Even God's power is released by what he said. Look back at the creation of the world. Okay? And think about how God created everything that is in his existence today. How did he do it? And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Right? God said it. He said it. It was something that he said. The Scripture tells us in the Old Testament that the power of life and death are in the tongue, right? That we see this Scripture all throughout the Bible, in that God, when you look at this, that God in the creation of the world spoke it, right? And I know that you say, well, that's great for God, but what about me? But you have to remember, Jesus said, have God's faith. Have his faith. Think about the way God does it. Think about the way Jesus did it, okay? That he spoke it, right? That there wasn't something that he, like when he calmed the storms, when they were in the boat, what did he do? He got up and he spoke it, and it happened. He spoke something. He spoke the word, and that's what we have to understand. God speaks and it works, and that's how he works. And we see that in that Scripture, Jesus is emphasizing, saying three times in the believing part, just one. Listen to this in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. We're probably very familiar with this passage, but it tells us that it tells us how we are saved. This is how you want to know how to get saved. This is how you're born again. All right, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. All right, so you got to believe. It brings justification. But what produces salvation? Confession. What is confession? Saying something. All right? If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, it's not believing that Jesus is Lord. It's confessing that Jesus is Lord. It's saying something out of your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believing in your heart. So you got to have both. It's not just one. It's got to be both. It's not just speaking. It's also got to be believing. You got to have both. But the truth be known is that the vast majority of the time, our problem isn't with what we believe. Our problem is what we say. All right? And well, and sometimes it's just so simple. Like, man, you know, I'm never going to get over these problems in my life. Okay? Well, that must be what you really believe in your heart. Man, I'm never going to overcome this sickness. Man, I'm never going to, you know, be able to, you know, get debt free. Man, I'm never going to be able to overcome this temptation. You know, my life is just so, every time I turn around, there's just more problems and more problems. Everything I do is a failure. Everywhere I go, there's just no, you know, I can't ever be good at anything. And we just say all these things, and we're saying them, we say them to other people, we say, all right, and all we're doing is we're saying what is in our heart, what we believe, and then we wonder why God can't do anything in our life. Like, well, I prayed and asked God, and God didn't do anything. Well, sometimes it's not really about what God does. Like, you can't do it the wrong way and think that God's going to change the rules for you. And we talked about that last week. God doesn't change the rules. All right, he tells us how the kingdom of God works. And if you want to work in the kingdom of God and you want God to work for you, you got to do it the way God tells us to do it. And it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter what you hear. It doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter any of those kinds of things. We look at God's word and we trust God's word and we do it God's way. And it doesn't matter if you feel like doing it that way. It doesn't matter if you feel like saying it that way. It doesn't matter if you feel the exact opposite of what the scripture tells you to believe. Okay? You still got to believe it and you got to say it. Okay? And you got to walk in it. And you got to be obedient and act like God's word is true in the moment. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 5 where this guy by the name of Naaman, and there was so much scripture really here. I just kind of cut it down a little bit. Just give you a little Cliff's Notes. There's this servant guy that was named Naaman. He got leprosy, and he was a servant of one of the other kings of the other nations. And that king was like, well, let me send Naaman to the king of Jerusalem or of Israel, and they can heal him there. So he sent Naaman over there, and he comes before the king, and the king's like, who am I? Why are you asking me to heal him? I don't know what, I can't give life to people. And the Bible says that the king of Israel ripped his clothes. And well, Elisha heard about it. And Elisha was like, why are you ripping your clothes, man? Just, hey, send Naaman to me. All right. And so then Naaman takes the journey and goes to Elisha. And this is where we are. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a message to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored and you shall be clean. So he had leprosy, right? And this leprosy, if you know anything about leprosy, leprosy is the disease that affects the flesh where it causes your body to die before your body dies. So if you don't treat it, like people that are leprous, eventually like parts of their body just start falling off because they basically just, the body's rotting and decaying while you're alive, basically. So this guy had leprosy, and it was considered to be contagious, and it made people unclean. So it was a very problem, very big deal. All right. He says, so Elisha says, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored, and you shall be clean. But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, behold, I thought that he would come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over his place and cure the leprosy. Come on now. You ever been in that place before? Are you praying and asking God to do something? Like, I just thought God would do it this way. Why didn't the pastor come over here and lay hands on me? Okay, this is Naaman. He's mad because Elisha didn't come out there, and he's like, I just thought Elisha was going to go like this. I was going to be clean. But Elisha told him to do something else. Now listen, what is this command that Naaman has? It is the word of the Lord to him. Okay? The word of God has come to him. Go wash 7 times in the Jordan. Okay? That's what the word of the Lord is. You think, based upon this, you think Naaman feels like going to Washington and Jordan? No. He's greatly disappointed about what's going on right here. Matter of fact, he even goes on. He says, let's see here, wave his hands. And are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? Like, why do I got to go wash in a Jordan? That's a nasty river. I got better rivers back at home. If that's all it takes is me washing 7 times in a river, you know, this kind of stuff. So he's like all upset. So he turned and went away in rage. But his servant came near to him and said, all right, thank God for the servant, all right? How many of you know you need people in your life that talk some sense into you sometimes, okay? All right? It's why it's important to cultivate good friendships, people that can speak godly things into your life, because sometimes you're just going to miss it, and you need somebody to speak to you, right? He said, his servant came near him and said, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? He has actually told you, wash and be clean." So Naaman took his advice. He went down, dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. All right. So we've already established the fact that Naaman did not feel like doing what he was told to do. Okay? He didn't want to do it, thought it was dumb, thought it was a dumb idea, couldn't believe it, couldn't happen another way. Why can't God just, you know, come out here? Why can't the prophet just come out here and speak over me and wave his hand over me and make it all better? Why can't we just do it that way? Why can't he just come over here and lay his hands on me and just like in an instance? All right, all this kind of stuff. All right, but the word of the Lord to Naaman was to do something. Now, he needed somebody to talk a little sense into him, you know. It would be better in our life if we just trusted the word of the Lord without somebody talking sense into us, okay? But he needed somebody to talk some sense into him, and then what he had to do? He had to trust God's word and have faith in God's word. And his faith in the word of the Lord to him in that moment did what? It caused him to act upon the word of God and go do what he was told to do. And when he did it, okay, he saw it. Right, the feelings in the seeing did not come before he did it. The action came before all of those other things followed along. We have to understand that. Okay, Jesus told us this, that if you have faith of a mustard seed, right, faith of a mustard seed. Let me ask you something. What do you do with a mustard seed? Put it in the ground, and you cover it up. You bury it. Right? You can't, in other words, you can't see it. Can't see it, you can't touch it, you can't feel it. It's got to sit in that ground. Now, if you decided that you wanted to feel it, touch it, and see it, that mustard seed would die. Because only when it's in the ground will it grow. Only when it's where it's supposed to be able to grow and produce the fruit that it's supposed to produce, is when you put it where it's supposed to be. And Jesus compared our faith to that of a mustard seed. But you know what? Faith is not about what you see. It's not about what you hear. It's not about what you feel. Not any of those kinds of things. It does not matter. It does not matter what other people tell you. It doesn't matter what other people say to you. It doesn't matter how bad your circumstances look. It doesn't matter how difficult life gets. None of those things matter. The only thing that matters is what has God's word said. What has God's word said? And I'm going to believe it. What has the word of God said? I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to confess it. And I'm going to say it. All right? And it doesn't mean you got to go around being a knucklehead. You know, like, you know, you only have one leg. And you're like, oh, I got 2 legs. No, okay. Nobody's saying that you have to go around talking like something doesn't exist. What we're saying here is that you're not denying the problems in your life. You're denying the problems in your life influence over your life. Okay, it's not about denying that a problem exists. It's about denying the problem to have influence over you, over your mind, over your emotions, over your confidence, over your trust, all of those things. You can't let that situation, that mountain, that issue control you. You've got to be disciplined in your mind to be what God wants you to be and to trust him and to walk it out. So it's not a denial of the problem. It's just a denial of keeping it from being influential in your life. Listen to this story, and we're going to finish here. This is the story that happens. It's profound. Jesus even says so himself in this moment. In Matthew chapter 8 verse 5, it says, when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him appealing him. He says, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. Say what? Come on, the centurion, they were like, will you come lay hands on him? Will you come touch him? Will you come be in my house? He said, all I need you to do is just say it. There's the trigger, right? I just need you to say it. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servants, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled. He said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. A centurion. He wasn't even a Jew. He was a Roman centurion. And he understood, because he doesn't forcibly make anybody do anything either. He understood how the chain of command works. That all I have to do is tell the soldier, go do this, and they go do it. And all I got to do is tell the servant to go do that, and go do that. And he sees Jesus as a person who has authority over certain things, over certain aspects and issues. And he says, I don't need you, Jesus, to come visit my house. I just need you to say the word, because I know if you say the word, that's all that needs to take place. That's all that needs to happen. And Jesus was like, now this guy understands faith. This guy understands faith. You see, because faith, man, what's crazy is that faith was in this guy. Like, how did he get faith? He got faith from hearing about the reputation of Jesus. There's no way he would have known that about Jesus had somebody not told him that this is what Jesus could do for him. So he had heard, because faith comes by hearing the word of God, he had heard about the reputation of Jesus, and then he believed that Jesus could do it. And then his belief caused him to do something about it, and then he went to Jesus and said, all I need you to do is just say it. Which also is, by the way, putting yourself out there, right? Because nobody had ever done that before with Jesus. Nobody had ever said that before to Jesus. Other people were like, man, I need to get in his way. I need to go to him so he could touch me, so he could be near me. If I could touch the hem of his garment. This guy said, no, I'm just going to go, and I'm just going to tell him, man, I don't need you to come to my home, man. I just need you to, you know, do what you're doing with all these people loving them. Just say the word. That's all I need you to do is just say the word. This man understood how faith works, because he understood how things work. He knows that the whole Roman army operates by words. Because when you're going through basic training, you're taught to respond to words. So he's saying here that I am seeing that you are reporting to God, and that when you speak, stuff obeys you. You see, all the other people of Israel, they liked the demonstrations, and they wanted to see all the stuff and the wonders and signs of things that God was doing, but didn't understand the power of the spoken word. You see, if you want to know how faith works, we acquire faith by studying the word of God. Why is studying the word of God so important? Because when you study the word of God, you learn about the character and the nature of who God is. You learn about his will, his passions, his desires. And when you know his will, you can pray his will over your life in confidence. Right? So faith comes by hearing the word of God. And then when we have faith, we act upon it. And then when we really, really believe it, we'll say it. Because saying it is the trigger. You need to have the gun, for sure. The gun is the capacity. The capacity comes by studying the word of God, listening to God's word, exposing yourself to God's word. It's also believing what God's word has said, that it is true, and not just true in general, but true for you. It's got to go from your head to your heart. That, yeah, I know that God is a good God, and I know he's faithful, and he's kind, and all this kind of stuff, but it's got to go from here to here. That he's not just good and kind, but he's good and kind to me. That his mercies are new every morning for me. That his blessings will overtake me because he loves me. Because he cares about me. that it's me that Jesus hung on that cross for, because he cares about me, because he wants to do great things for me, that it goes from here to here, and then when it comes in here, it's got to come out in what you say, because you got to confess the right thing. You can't go around confessing and saying all the wrong things and then wondering why your faith in God is not working and why God isn't working for you. You've got to say it. The power of life and death is in the tongue, and the things that you say matter. And it's not a name it or claim it thing. Nobody's saying that. But what you say is very important. The things that you talk about and the things that come out of your mouth are valuable. And you've got to learn the capacity is what you believe, and the trigger is what you say. And when you do that, listen, you understanding that faith is not an instantaneous thing. There's many times in the Bible where Jesus healed people and the Bible says that they began to recover. Okay? You understand that? Didn't mean that they were well. Now, there were many people who were well in that moment, but there are a lot of times where the Bible says that they began to recover from that moment. Sometimes it's a progression. Sometimes there's a delayed response, okay? Because enduring faith builds character in us. It builds trust in us that we're relying upon him, that he's not just some kind of heavenly vending machine. If we push all the right buttons, he's going to give us whatever we want when we want it. But that we trust him that in the right moment, at the right time, in his time, whatever it is, that God will take us right where he wants us to be, and he'll give us exactly the promises that be good to us. Will you stand to your feet this morning? Remember, we started the service with, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because he who seeks him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek after him. We've got to believe. We've got to believe that God is good, he's faithful, he's just, he's kind, he's merciful, that all of his promises are yes and amen. Regardless of what we see, regardless of what we feel, regardless of our circumstances, we have faith in God. And then the things that we say out of our mouth need to match the things that we believe about the character and nature of who God is. Right? When you understand this, listen, sometimes our faith can get broken. We start saying the wrong things. We start believing the wrong things. We can get in a bad spot. It's easy. I've been there before myself. Even knowing how faith works, I've been there before myself. Just down and out, throwing yourself a little pity party. It's easy to do sometimes. When you know how it works, you can fix it. You can make it right. Begin to walk in faith so we can please God in all of our life. Let's invite, have some people that want to come down here to the front to help me with prayer. We're going to worship the Lord here today. And if you need prayer for anything here today, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is, we want to pray for you. We want God to touch your life. I believe that God is here. I believe his presence is here because God's word says it. It doesn't mean that I feel anything, but God says where two or more are gathered together, my name, I'm here. So I believe he's here. Actually, I know he's here. He's here, right? And his presence will touch your life if you want him to touch your life. If you need something this morning, whatever it is, don't go home needy, because God can meet all of your needs here today, all right? He can do it. And if not, we're just going to worship God. And I would just encourage you to say, you know what, God, grow me in my faith. Grow me in my faith. Come on, let's just worship him.